The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Sorry about that. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. And since this is the first Tuesday of September, I want you to know that I actually do have a Reader's Digest now. Let's just hope it lasts for another 4 weeks. Anyway, let's start off with a letter from the Chief Content Officer, Jason Burmeister. I like that name. Total Recall. There are a lot of funny password jokes, but my favorite is first they ask you to create a password so complicated you can't remember it. Then they lock you out when you forget what it was. To be honest, I had to look up that joke because I couldn't remember it. If you're like me, you can recall every word to a song you haven't heard since high school, but can't remember the password you created yesterday. Our brains are funny and fickle things. This month, we're talking about memory, specifically the factors that can boost or break down our brain power. See Making Memories, which we'll be looking at, for tips on strengthening your recall. One tip, do puzzles. I recommend starting with our brain games section, which we can't really do over the air. Sorry about that. Reading is another way to keep your mind sharp. Finding time to read can be a challenge. Finding what to read can be an even bigger challenge, especially when you can't remember the name of the book a friend recommended or where you put it. We can help. Reader's Digest Select Editions is providing readers with condensed versions of quality fiction books since 1950. So we're getting an advertisement here. This month, we are relaunching our Select Edition book programs with a stunning new look and name, Fiction Favorites. This new name captures our main mission to provide passionate readers with the best fiction out there, featuring both rising stars and top-selling best authors. Each edition of Fiction Favorites is packed with our four genre-panning novels, handpicked by a team of editors and carefully edited to fit into one terrific volume. It remains the very best way to read more great fiction in less time. Subscribe now by opening the camera on your cell phone, which obviously we can't do, and pointing it at the black scammy box below, or for visiting us at fictionfavorites.com. I hate when I have to do advertisements, but I guess that's part of the job. And we're starting with The World of Good Reasons to Smile. And there's a picture here of a puffin standing on the cliffs overlooking the ocean, green grass, and the puffin is black and white with some gray on its their wingtips. Crouching low, 9-year-old Singun Anavala's daughter peers under a truck, the beam from her flashlight catching the glint of two small, shiny black eyes. It's after dark, and as a member of the Puffling Patrol, she is on a mission to rescue Puffling, a baby Atlantic puffin. The black and white seabirds are beloved on Hylumei, one of Iceland's many islands, and each year as the baby birds leave the nest, residents set out to rescue those who become disoriented by the lights of the only town. After a half-hour standoff, the puffing darts out from underneath the truck and into the cardboard box Falk's daughter has waiting. In the morning, the girl will release the bird on a cliff and watch it fly out to sea. Isn't that nice? Everyday Heroes. Electrocuted at the L train. A stranger had fallen onto the train tracks where deadly jolts of electricity kept anybody from grabbing him. And there's a picture of a young African-American gentleman, has a mustache, wearing a black hoodie and gray sweatpants and real fancy sneakers. Anthony Perry ignored the inherent engines of a busy train track to save his stricken passenger. It was a sunny afternoon in June of 2022 when Anthony Perry stepped off the train at Chicago's 69th Street Station. The 20-year-old, who worked nights in a grocery store, was on his way to see his grandfather so they could go look at a car Perry was thinking about buying. On the platform, two men were throwing punches. Then the unthinkable happened. The pair tumbled over the edge onto the tracks. One man ended up his back, fending off blows. Suddenly, he started bucking and convulsing. The aggressor, straddling him, leaped backward, bounded back onto the platform, and disappeared. The man had fallen atop the third rail, the conduit for 600 volts of electricity that powers Chicago's L trains. As Perry and other horrified onlookers watched, he twitched grotesquely as the current surged through his body, his head bouncing up and down off the tracks. "Help in a woman, world, please, someone." Perry just couldn't stand there and watch. He sat at the edge of the platform and eased himself down, assuming that every rail between him and the man was electrified. Perry took a few quick bounds, high-kneeling as he'd done in high school football, until he was standing over the victim. The guy looked dead, his body still thrashing rhythmically as the electric pulse, his head banging against a steel rail. Pondered where and how he was going to escape the situation he just put himself into, straddling a deadly rail about to lay hands on a body coursing with electricity. The train he'd just gotten off was idling, thankfully, but had the conductor seen him? Would it start up again? Putting his trust in God, Perry reached down and grasped the victim's wrist. Instantly, he felt a blast of electric shoot through his body. Perry flinched and jumped back. He reached down a second time and was shocked again. But the third time, he seemed the man's wrist and forearm, and braving the shock, yanked. The guy's body slid briefly along the third rail, coming to rest on the gravel at the outer edge of the tracks, beside a concrete barrier. The man was breathing, but raggedly. Something wasn't right. "Given trash compressions," yelled a woman on the platform wearing scrubs. Perry was no expert. For a few moments, he worked on the man's heart until the victim began convulsing. Once again, Perry grabbed him, keeping him from falling back onto the third rail or smashing his head into the concrete. Then he heard a commotion behind him. Paramedics and firefighters had arrived. They'd told authorities to cut the circuit, deactivating the third rail. Perry let the professionals take over. His heart still racing from the adrenaline and electric shocks, he climbed back up on the platform, grabbed his things, and continued on to his grandfather's. As planned, they went to look at the car he wanted to buy, but it had been sold. The evening news reported the incident, creating an anonymous hero who was saving the victim's life. After a friend outed him to the media, Perry became the toast of Chicago. Just days after the incident, a local philanthropist rewarded him with a car. Perry was then recruited by the Chicago Fire Department and is now training to be an EMT. Out of all the people on the platform that day, why was Perry the only one to help? As he sees it, he alone was not thinking about harm might befall him. "The word I'll use is faith," he says. "Faith over fear." Department of Wit. Next stop, the afterlife. The Jeopardy champ turned host conjures up some destinations to die for by Ken Jennings. There's no way to know for sure where you're going when you die, but it's never too early to investigate your options. After all, eternity is an awfully long time to end up in the wrong place. Duat, ancient Egypt. We know more about how ancient Egyptians died than how about it they lived. Duat, their underworld, was full of obstacles which could be navigated successfully only with the protective spells found in the Egyptians' famous Book of the Dead. Those obstacles comprise a full Indiana Jones Temple of Doom. There's a lake of fire, torture chambers, and even booby traps. But for the adventurous traveler, the iron walls and turquoise trees of Duat make for an afterlife unlike any other. The top attraction, the Hall of Two Truth, is a can't-miss. Get an early start because you want to arrive washed, anointed in mirror, and wearing fresh clothes and white sandals. Final judgment in Duat takes place in this long column changer, where Osiris and other Egyptian gods sit enthroned under a canopy. Anubis, the jackal-headed judge of the dead, will weigh your heart against an ostrich feather. If the scales balance exactly, Osiris will welcome you into the afterlife. Hades, ancient Greece. The Greek god of death was Hades, a name that came to apply the whole underworld. It is for the most part an awful, gloomy place. Top attraction is Cerberus. The iconic mascot of the Greek underworld was a savage three-headed hound. Each of his necks bristling with snakes, he will be a meek little puppy dog as you enter, but will not hesitate to devour you should you try to exit. So get your cuddles the first time you pass him. Hell, H-E-L. The Norse. Thanks to Marvel movies, Norse mythology is hotter right now than it's been in almost 1,000 years. Viking warriors always had an appealing afterlife in Valhalla, but the majority of mortals do not die a valiant death. Most wind up underground in Hel. Odin gave this icy realm to Loki's daughter, also named Hel. Hel, that's H-E-L, by the way, the daughter, is the grim, cruel mistress of the Hall of Eljundor, meaning damp with sleet. Her dish is hunger, Her knife is sultra, famine. Her bed is kor, sickbed, and its curtains are blekjandobal, gleaming disaster. In short, she runs the world's worst IKEA. Inferno, the Divine Comedy. Dante offers another take on hell. In theory, his inferno should hold millions of unbaptized people. But somehow he mostly runs into his favorite literary characters and his political opponents now receiving their comeuppances. That's the thing about hell. 9 huge circles, but it usually feels like a small town. Top attraction. The city of Dis. On the fifth circle of hell, you can light a flame in a tower battlement, and Phylegas, the king from Greek mythology that nobody remembers, will appear to ferry you across the river Styx to Dis, a spectacular city of glowing minarets. Once inside Dis, you're in for a surprise. This is the sixth circle, where heretics burn forever. The land of the unliving, DC Comics. Ancient Greeks and Egyptians could only aspire to a cosmology as confusing as the ones in superhero comics. When you die in the DC universe, you might be greeted by Necron, a force of evil with skeletal monster makeup and body armor. Necron rules the land of the unliving, where souls await judgment and sometimes turn into zombies, into a zombie space army called the Black Lantern Corps. But your best bet might be to hang on for a few years. Resurrection is always just one new rider away. Best Pet Pals. Misty grew from a mischievous puppy into a hero dog. And it's a black dog. It looks like it's probably part Labrador. Misty, the rescue dog from Brookfield, Illinois. I was fighting a migraine one summer day and decided to step outside for some fresh air. I was gazing at our koi pond, my rescue dog Misty nearby, when suddenly I fainted. Eventually, I grasped awake to Misty desperately yanking my arms, legs, and clothes, slowly but surely pulling me from the water. She's managed to get my upper body on land, bringing me back to consciousness by licking my face and whimpering. Once I got to my feet, she had my wrist in her mouth, gently pulling me away from the pond and toward the house, so I could call for help. While the paramedics worked on me, Mr. never left my side. They determined that I was concussed, had been out for 3 to 5 minutes, and had been face down and almost fully submerged in water. I could have drowned if Misty hadn't acted so quickly. Now, whenever I'm in the yard, Misty sticks close and always makes sure she's between me and the pond. Not many people can answer, who rescued who? Quite the way I can. By Kathy Arita. Life in these United States. As we boarded an airplane some years ago, the two women behind me were voicing their anxiety about flying. That is, until they peeked into the cockpit and got a glimpse of their pilots. "Whoa," said one. "They're both good-looking." Her friend sounded relieved. "Good," she said. They have more to live for. During a bus tour in Canada, our guide pointed out all the points of interest. And over there, he said, indicating the gold arches of McDonald's, is the American Embassy. Headlines we thought we'd never see. Stop licking toads to get high. And why you should think twice before getting your nose hair waxed. Oh, that's terrible. I don't know. I just read a headline recently that you shouldn't kiss turtles because of salmonella poisoning. Following the funeral service for my grandmother, my family drove to the cemetery. When we arrived, my three-year-old asked where we were. "This is where we're going to bury Oma," I said gently. He let out a deep sigh. "It's sad, isn't it?" I asked. "Yes," he said. "I didn't bring my shovel." A greeter welcomed my friend and me when we walked into a Bass Pro Shops store. Pointing to the canes my friend and I used, I joked, "We really don't need to use the canes. We'll just use them to beat off the women." She shot back, "And you'll need the other end of the cane to hook them." The moment I realized I wasn't as smart as I thought, when someone told me they had the same name as me, I said, "Really? What's your name?" Oh, that's terrible. I was shopping for clothes when I spotted someone I recognized. We made eye contact and smiled at each other. It was just then I realized I was walking toward a full-length mirror. After this conversation with my boss, I will be in late tomorrow. I have a doctor's appointment. Is everything okay? Yes. Why do you ask? I said, "I'm consistent, just not all the time." And it really had to be pointed out to me. Instead of emotional support, my son said, "Mimosa no show support." And I want a lot more. That's terrible. Marriage can be difficult but rewarding. Like this morning, I told my husband I love you. And he looked deep in my eyes and said, "Do you know where my keys are?" I asked him back to school. I asked my granddaughter how her first day of first grade went. "Well," she said, "I don't know how to read yet." A freshman at a Catholic high school, I was attending our first Friday Mass. So naturally, I sang my heart out. Suddenly, the principal, Sister Matilda, appeared at my side. She leaned over and said, "Mr. Godfrey, the Lord will not mind if you mouth the words." My 10-year-old grandson, Sam, was so excited. He had just gotten a saxophone, which he was learning to play for the school band. I watched proudly as he took the instrument out of the case, assembled it, and positioned it around his neck. He played one note, then carefully reversed the process. "What's wrong?" I asked. He answered, "That's all I know." In high school, a classmate responded to a teacher's question with, "Yo, mama!" Joke. Without missing a beat, the teacher said, "Leave my mother out of this. I don't make fun of your parents, and look what they produced." Rah, rah, Raymond! The slurpy, savory story of a Japanese sensation. This is the Art of Living Food Facts and Fun. You may think of Raymond as a college kid cuisine, but dressier versions of this noodle and broth dish with toppings such as roast pork, fish cakes, bamboo shoots, and poached eggs blow the instant kind out of its bowl. Over the last few years in the United States, gourmet ramen restaurants have options have jumped more than 30%, so you can likely enjoy this Asian sensation close to home. Chinese immigrants first brought the wheat noodle recipe to Japan, according to historian George Solt, in his book The Untold History of Ramen. He tells the scholar from China during the 17th century who instructed a Japanese feudal lord he worked for to add pork and vegetables to his noodle soup. By 1910, the first ramen restaurant in Japan, Reirei Ken, was serving the dish to Tokyo diners. It was called Shina Soba in Japanese. Shina is an archaic Japanese for China, while the soba are thin buckwheat noodles. But the Japanese pronunciation of lamen, the Chinese word for soft wheat noodles, evolved into today's ramen. World War II interrupted the dish's popularity as food shortages led the Japanese government to ban luxury foods, including ramen. In 1945, as the seven-year Allied occupation of Japan began, the worst rice harvest in decades caused widespread hunger. Fearing that food shortages might alienate the population and lead them to gravitate towards communism, the U.S. occupiers began to import American wheat into Japan. The renewed availability of wheat noodles refueled the demand for ramen, which became a street food as food stalls popped up to sell the tasty and affordable dish to the hungry population. In 1958, a Taiwanese businessman named Manofuku Ando created a dehydrated version of ramen that only required the addition of boiling water. It came to the U.S. in styrofoam cups under the name Cup of Noodles in the 1970s. In 1993, the company dropped the O, so now the official name is Cup Noodles. The Americanized version had shorter noodles than would be eaten and more easily with a spoon, as opposed to the traditional chopsticks. Today, there are two museums in Japan dedicated to Ando's creation, and his name inspired Korean-American celebrity chef David Chang's Momofuku Noodle Bar in Manhattan. Chang's restaurant, an early seller of the gourmet ramen, helped to change the perception of the dish from a cheap, prepackaged pantry staple to a complex and indulgent treat. Hungry visitors to ramen shops could typically choose from four broths: shoyu, which is soy-based; miso, made from fermented soybean paste; shiyu, or salt, often with chicken or fish base; or tonkotsu, rich and fatty, made from pork. The salty broth is what gives ramen its mouth-watering umami, a pleasant, savory taste. Tokyo remains the ramen capital of the world, with well over 10,000 ramen shops. Among them, Ichiran, with locations not only in Japan, but also in Hong Kong, Taiwan, and New York City. Whether you choose shiyu or shoyu, or instant or gourmet, ite karkarimasu. Bon appetit. 13 things. Bluster about extreme weather. Hurricane who? We've been naming storms since the 19th century, thanks to a meteorologist in Australia who started naming them after politicians he disliked. Using female names caught on in the United States in the 50s, weather reports even included sexist cliches such as temperamental and storms flirting with coasts. Male names got folded in a mix by 1979 after Florida feminist Roxy Bolton campaigned for equality. The association number two, the association with destruction, can make hurricane monikers plunge in popularity as baby names, which is what happened to Katrina after 2005 and then Ida after 2021. Both were Category 5 hurricanes, the most catastrophic, on the Saffir-Simpson hurricane wind scale, with winds of more than 157 miles per hour. Particularly bad storms such as these have had their names retired by the World Meteorological Organization, the group that selects the names. The WMO lists 21 alphabetical names each year. It skips Q, U, X, Y, and Z. All 21 names were used in both 2020 and 2021. Maybe not number three. Maybe not with cats and dogs, but it really does rain animals sometimes. Tornadoes can pick up critters and carry them long distances, leading to accounts of frogs or fish falling from the sky as recently as last year, when anchovies rained down on San Francisco. But I wonder if it hit any pizzas. Number four, some say animals can predict the weather, though many such theories are unproved. Purported patterns include cows lying down ahead of rain and birds flying lower prior to storms. One link that has been proved is that coastal sharks swim deeper into the water during the drop in barometric pressure that precedes tropical storms. Number five, ice can increase the weight of tree branches during 30-fold. During the Great Ice Storm of 1998, freezing rain brought down millions of trees across Canada and the northeastern United States. Widespread power outages left more than 5 million people without electricity, some for a month. Number six, blizzards can wreak similar havoc, and they can happen in unlikely places. During Iran's 1972 blizzard, called the worst in history, almost 26 feet of snow fell over nearly a week. Once-in-a-generation storms as this are happening more often as polar winds meet warmer-than-usual winter conditions. Number seven, rising average temperature across the globe are contributing to more frequent heat waves and bigger storms. Earlier this year, Cyclone Freddy raged for a record 34 days, hitting parts of Africa. Human activity is known to compound the disastrous effects of extreme weather, too. In British Columbia in 2021, torrential rain over forest areas that had been clear-cut led to deadly mudslides. Major flooding in Germany and Belgium in 2021 and Australia's unprecedented bushfires of 2020 have also been attributed to climate change. Number eight, after bursting onto the scene in the 1970s, the disaster movie genre with hits such as Poseidon Adventure and The Swarm really took off in the late 1990s. Even so, Volcano, Hard Rain, and Avalanche, to name a few, just couldn't match the success of one of the decade's biggest blockbusters, Twister. Number nine, lightning sprites, common in the Midwest, make skies glow with jellyfish-like shapes during thunderstorms. The crimson lights are produced by electric discharges in a middle region of the atmosphere known as the mesosphere. Tall buildings are especially prone to lightning strikes, so skyscrapers are equipped with lightning rods to safely dissipate the energy if they get hit. Chicago's Willis Tower, formerly called the Sears Tower, was struck 250 times between 2015 and 2020. Number 10. Mongolia's southern province of Donavogi experienced a record 20-hour sandstorm in 2021. These storms occur when strong winds sweep across the dry desert. They can sometimes cause blood rain or reddish precipitation from dust carried from the Sahara Desert, mixing with water before falling back to earth. This rare event occurred in the sky over Spain in 2022. Number 11. Intense heat waves can melt power lines and buckle railroad tracks, which happened last year in the United Kingdom. People also tend to lose their cool during hot weather. Studies show that violent spikes as our bodies heat up, possibly due to a drop in serotonin and an increase in testosterone, which can make us more aggressive. Number 12. Every year, 1,200 or so tornadoes are reported in the United States. That's 75% of all the tornadoes in the world. Tornado Alley, which runs vertically through the middle of the country from South Dakota to Texas, bears the brunt. The Lone Star State is hit the most frequently averaging 137 tornadoes a year, but a neighboring state, Oklahoma, holds the record for the biggest twister ever. In 2013, a 2.6-mile-wide one barreled through El Reno, Oklahoma, never-before-seen ground speeds of 295 miles an hour. 13. While most people wisely seek safer during extreme weather, storm chasers run toward the action. Despite the danger, deaths are rare, and those extreme weather bugs gather invaluable meteorological data. You can stream the spectacular videos they capture on platforms such as WeatherSpy. Girls Who Cause, Girls Who Chase, founded by extreme weather lovers Jen Walton and Melanie Metz in 2021, inspires and educates women to head out into the eye of the storm to pursue careers in science. You are not the best-selling memoir. Cheap Talk shows Philosophy Tuesdays with Mari Povich. And with that, let's switch over to Consumer Reports, and let's look at letters. In our July 2023 cover story, is your seafood safe to eat? Reported on the potentially dangerous levels of mercury and bacteria in fish and shellfish, and offer advice on taking safer choices. Our readers shared thoughts. In your article about seafood safety, you pointed out some of the risks of eating farm seafood, like how farm fish are often exposed to antibiotics and pesticides. Readers should also know that farm salmon is artificially colored. Wild salmon feed on crustaceans and algae found in the sea, and that's what gives salmon its pink color. Farm salmon don't get to eat those things, and as a result, they are gray. So they are artificial colored by feeding them astaxanthin thin. Some stores label farm salmon as artificially colored, others do not. While the FDA categorizes astaxanthin as generally recognized as safe, it does not mean the FDA has ever formally tested it for safety. Editor's note. It's true that farm salmon are often fed a supplement containing a naturally occurring pigment called astaxanthin to give them their pinkish color. This is not an artificial dye. Astaxanthin is an organic pigment that wild salmon get from algae in their diet. The supplemental form that farm salmon consume is processed by the fish in the same way, according to the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and is approved and used by salmon by the Food and Drug Administration. Variable amounts of mercury in tuna in the can are expected. Some cans will be higher and some lower. Environmental health scientists believe it is the average consumption of mercury over time that matters based on our understanding of how chronic long-term exposure to mercury can affect health. That's why the standard refers to the average. Editor's note, consumption of mercury over time is of the greatest concern, but spikes of mercury from a few cans or even a single can of tuna during pregnancy when the fetus is developing can also be concerning. That's why CR's food service experts recommended avoiding tuna entirely during pregnancy. You advise readers to buy skipjack for the lowest mercury content. Since I spend about $4 more to buy safe catch tuna, I was hoping you'd rate brands. Editor's note, we did test 10 canned tuna products from 5 brands, ranking them for their mercury content. Our advice based on that testing, a non-pregnant adult could eat 3 cans of safe catch wild elite tuna per week or one can for safe catch albacore without getting too much mercury. Reduce mail clutter, email clutter, and take control of your tech clutter in the July issue. You say to use unsubscribe links on emails. I think giving a pass to unsubscribe links is a mistake, as they can be phishing or otherwise nefarious links, like other links you mentioned in the article. I do use unsubscribe links, but only for marketing email that appears to come from legitimate sources. Editor's note, there are two kinds of unsubscribe links, one at the top of an email next to the sender's name, and another embedded at the bottom of the email. The link at the top should appear only if the email is from a legitimate sender. That said, you're following great security practice by being careful about the links you click on. If you don't remember signing up for an email or you think that you received looks suspicious, mark it as spam and delete it. What do you do when repeated emails, unsubscribe requests are ignored? I have at least 5 sites that I have notified many times, but I keep getting their emails. What now? Editor's note. If unsubscribing doesn't work, you can block the sender. Taking this action directs first emojis from the email address to your spam or junk folder, so you won't have to see them. This can also help email providers cut down on spam for others. In Gmail, for example, you just open one of the emails, click on 3-dot menu at the top right, and select block, the name of the sender. Other email programs have similar tools. Check the support area for instructions. Top-rated sunscreens. CR rates the efficacy and accuracy of sun protection products in the best sunscreens of the year. However, the article didn't include any ratings or guidance on which sunscreen products don't harm organisms living in the ocean. Providing more information would be helpful. An editor's note, this is a long one. When choosing a sunscreen, the most important factor to consider is how well it will protect your skin from the sun's ultraviolet rays. In CR's test, sunscreens that use chemical ingredients to screen UV rays have consistently outperformed mineral sunscreens that contain only titanium dioxide and or zinc oxide. That said, while the degree of ocean damage that can be attributed to sunscreens is still a matter of debate, Consumer Reports actually believe that mineral sunscreens are less likely than chemical sunscreens to cause harm. Our new Green Choice designation identifies the most environmentally friendly options. All mineral sunscreens that don't contain any of the chemicals thought to have the most detrimental effects on ocean life. Green Choice sunscreens are the mineral products that are the most UV protective in our ratings. For a list of Green Choice sunscreens, go to cr.org/greenchoicesunscreen. My wife says she has read that sunscreens should be tossed and replaced every year because the ingredients get old and less effective. I looked for such a recommendation in your article, but didn't find it. What do your experts think? Editor's note. Sunscreen, per the Food and Drug Administration, must be formulated to last 3 years until the expiration date indicated. Provided it's been stored at room temperature, it will maintain its level of protection if it is still in that 3-year window, says Susan Booth, the project leader for sunscreen testing at Consumer Reports. We have retested sunscreen samples from previous year's testing after storing them in our lab and found no differences in performance. Check the sunscreen expiration date, if it has one. If not, you can't call when you bought it. It's best to buy a new bottle. Need a fragrance-free sunscreen? I have a strong allergic reaction to fragrance, sneezing, eye-watering, headaches, coughing. I throw away many products that I cannot use, and right now I do not know what I will use to go to the beach this summer. It's hard to find products without fragrance. Editor's note. High-performing fragrance-free sunscreens in our test include Everyday Humans, Oh My Bod, Lotion SPF 50, and Trader Joe's Spray SPF 50. Just be aware that because these sunscreens have no added fragrance, you may still smell the slight plasticky scent of ingredients in the product. If that's a concern, you may want to get a sniff of the sunscreen in the store before you buy it. Regarding unfair new car fees. Regarding fighting unfair fees on page 5 of the July issue, I think you should fight one of the most egregious fees out there, the document from fee when you buy a new car. The buyer gets nothing for it, and the fee is often $500 or more. We agree. Documentation fees, meant to cover processing expenses such as issuing a car's title and registration, have become another way for dealerships to maximize profit by hundreds of dollars. We suggest pointing out as you're negotiating down the car's final price with the aim of offsetting that charge. What we're testing in our labs. In our 63 labs, we continue to review and rate products. Here are timely picks for this month. Air fryers. We tested 15 large models. We test for how easy it is to use its controls and to clean, how quiet it is. We also measure fire capacity, which can differ from the size it is claimed to be. The median score was 70, ranging from 52 to 79. Simple controls. The Instant Vortex Plus 140, 3089, $160. Scored a 79. Extra large and easy to clean is a beautiful by Drew Barrymore. At $140, scored a 76. Very quiet. Tefal Easy Fry XXL, $135. It scored a 76 as well. Laptops. We tested 200 models. We test for performance while running a variety of tasks, battery life, the screen size, clarity and color, the keyboard's ergonomics, and more. The median score was 64, and the range was 33 to 86. Large display and long battery life, LG Graham, 17-inch, 2023, at $2,100, scored an 86. Samsung's Galaxy 16-inch Books Pro, 360, at $1,900, scored an 82, and that converts to a tablet. Compact for easy travel is the Apple MacBook Air 13-inch M2 10-core at $1,350, scored a 78. Ask our experts, what's the best way to get crud out of my computer keyboard? Keyboards get dirty fast, and if debris gets stuck under keys, it can make them stick or even break. To remove the gunk, turn off your vise and flip the keyboard over. Gently tap the backside to dislodge debris. Then use a can of compressed air, about $8, or an electronic vacuum, such as the Pro Bono Compressed Air Duster and Mini Vacuum Keyboard Cleaner 3-in-1 for $36, designed to clean crevices, reducible gels, such as Color Coral University Dust Cleaner, $12, also work well to trap and remove gunk when pressed into a keyboard. Never use cleaning chemicals like Windex because they can actually damage the keys. Further tests. Foam mattresses under $450. We tested 8 models. We test for a model support for petite, average, and large, tall side sleepers and back sleepers, durability, and more. About the scores, the median was 68. The range was 65 to 75. Good support for both back and side sleepers is the Ole Aquarius number 10, $420, scored a 75. Softer sleeper and sleeps cooler, Sienna memory foam at $400, scored a 73. Firm and durable is the Tulo 10-inch, number 10 memory foam bamboo, $440, scored a 72. Gas grills. We tested 151 models. How quickly a model preheats, evenness of heating, convenience, does it have wheels, temperature range, and more. About the scores, the median was 63 and the range was 40 to 82. Excellent performance and fits more burgers is the Monument Grill 77352 at $660, and it's a biggie. 82 was the score on that. Convenient features and a reliable brand. Weber Genesis Smart Grill EXP335 at $1,600 scored an 8er. Greatest for small spaces is a Permasteel PG40301, 342, scored a 71, and it is kind of small. Smart speakers. We tested 40 models. We test for sound quality of the speaker, ease of setup and controls, versatility, including the presence of absence of useful features. The median score was 60. The range was 38 to 74. Scoring a 74 is the top sound quality, Sonos Era 300 at $450. The value boy was a Sonos Era 100 at $250, and it scored a 71. The best with the screen was Amazon Echo Show 10, third generation, $250, scored a 67. How about countertop microwaves? We tested 81 models. We tested for how easy it is to use, how evenly it heats and defrosts foods, and how quickly and quietly it works. Median was 61, the range was 33 to 87. It heats and defrosts evenly was the LG MSWN1590, $170, scored the 82. Quiet and has a grill setting, Power XL Microwave Air Plus, $230, scored a 67. And for good mid-sized models for tight spaces, Commercial Chef CHM990 at $100, scored a 66. Ask our experts. How far can I drive after my car's low fuel light turns on? In most vehicles, the low fuel light comes on when you have less than 50 miles of range left. But at that distance varies by model. Some may get only 30 miles until they're truly empty. So it's worth checking your owner's manual for specific guidance. Many cars will display a running estimate of the remaining mileage on the dashboard. Those in-vehicle computers are generally very accurate, says Ryan Sislowski, Consumer Reports tire program leader. So if your Bass Force says you have 25 miles left, trust the estimate. It's always best to err on the side of caution, though. You never know whether a gas station will be nearby and open when you desperately need one. The smart move is to always keep your car tank at least a quarter full. During storm season in your area, it would be wise to keep it closer to half a tank, our experts say, especially if you're driving to a remote location. If you do find yourself driving with the low fuel light on, make your remaining fuel last longer by sticking to the speed limit and driving smoothly. Hard acceleration and braking can reduce your gas mileage. When should I replace my kitchen sponge? Here's a surprise. Experts recommend throwing your kitchen sponge after just 1 week of use. That's because kitchen sponges are one of the biggest reservoirs of bacterial growth in your house. According to the research published in 2017 in the Journal of Scientific Reports, kitchen sponges can easily transfer those bacteria, which would include E. coli and Salmonella, two common causes of food poisoning, to your hands and the kitchen surfaces. To keep your sponge cleaner while you're using it, rinse and squeeze it out after every use. According to the Department of Agriculture, you can try putting your sponge in the dishwasher or microwaving a wet sponge for 1 minute, as long as it doesn't have steel scrubbing wires on it. Even if you use those daily cleaning methods, it's still important to replace your sponge after a week. And if your sponge begins to smell, a sign that bacteria may be building up inside it, throw it away immediately. A more environmentally friendly option that also saves money, swap your sponges for dish rags, which can go in your washing machine and get sanitized in the dryer. What's the best way to clean high windows? One of the most effective ways to clean the outside of high windows is to use a telescoping pole that can stretch to cleaning heads such as brushes, sponges, and squeegees. These allow you to clean high windows from the ground, and it's much safer to use a pole than to stand on a ladder, says David Trezza in a test outdoor power equipment for CR. You can buy a telescoping cleaning pole and attachable cleaning heads in a kit. Kits that can reach second floor typically start around $100 in home improvement stores. Before you begin cleaning, check to make sure your pole won't touch any electrical wiring. Also, use binoculars to make sure the window panes and frames are intact and won't rain down loose pieces on you. Then fill a large bucket with water and several generous squirts of liquid dish detergent and vinegar. You can also try an ammonia-free window cleaning solution. Dip the sponge or microfiber head into water and use it to scrub the windows, periodically rinsing and then squeezing out the water. Then attach the squeegee and starting at the top corner, drag the squeegee down to the bottom of the pane. Wipe the squeegee after each swipe to minimize drip marks. One last tip, wash your windows on a cloudy day. Direct sunlight can leave streaks on your windows because the liquid evaporates quickly and leaves residue behind, says Stephen Ipp, owner of Cleansing Cleaning Service in Boston. CR Insights. In the know, parking made easier. No matter how long you've been driving, parking your car is still a hassle, especially when you're trying to squeeze in a narrow space or back into a small garage. Backup cameras, which have been standard on passenger cars since 2018, have made this chore easier. But now some newer vehicles, such as the Ford 150 Lightning truck, include automated parking systems, which use sensors to help you parallel park without requiring you to control the steering, accelerator, or brake pedals. And there are a few models in the market, such as the Tesla Model 3 and Genesis GV80, that can park without you inside them. With a key fob or smartphone app, you can remotely pull into and out of parking spaces. Most systems do a surprisingly good job, but technology isn't perfect yet. In the meantime, we gathered a few parking aids to make the job easier, including an add-on backup camera for older cars, a map to guide you into shallow garages, and a bumper guard to help protect against scratches. And there's a picture of the Ford F-150 Lightning equipped with Active Park Assist 2.0. This electric truck can maneuver itself into a space with the punch of a button. Parking helpers. For older vehicles, the Echo Master's wireless solar-powered backup camera kit for $221. No built-in backup camera? This wireless version is easy to bolt onto your car's rear plate. Then press the dash screen's power button to turn it on before backing up. For home garages, Masa Innovations 37356 ParkRite Parking Mites 2-pack for $37.50. Is the space in your garage shallow or not well lit? Putting down parking mats like this can help you stop your wheels at the right spot every time. For street parking, Bump Shot Max Bumper Guard License Plate, $35. Thick foam rubber guards frames stick out to help protect your car from being scratched or tapped by other vehicles while they're being parked. Do you really need to walk 10,000 steps a day? Recent research shows that the higher your daily step count, the lower your risk of heart disease, cancer, diabetes, and dementia. But studies also reveal that you may not need to take 10,000 steps a day, the often recommended ideal, to enjoy some of those benefits. Experts now say if you're younger than 60, 8,000 steps daily could be beneficial. If you're 60 or older, 6,000 to 8,000 steps could boost your health. Here's how to easily reach those counts every day. Track yourself. Wearing a pedometer for a week will tell you how many steps you're taking already. Don't have a fitness tracker or a smartwatch? Many phones can act as a pedometer. On iPhones, for example, it's automatic. Just open Apple's Health app to find your step count, flights climbed, and more. If you prefer a wearable tracker that has additional features like heart rate monitor, experts recommend the easy-to-use Fitbit Inspire 3 for $80. Set reminder. Whether you prefer walking in the morning or evening, schedule exercise and set up reminders on your phone, smartwatch, or fitness tracker to help you stay honest. If you can't take a long walk each day, go for shorter walks instead. As little as 10 minutes squeezed in during the day will help you reach your goal. Being sedentary is a big risk factor for heart disease in particular, so using technology to remind you to get up and move can have major benefits. Increase gradually. Don't try to get 6,000 plus steps all at once. Instead, aim up your daily average by about 500 steps. Once you consistently take those additional steps for 1 week, add another 500 steps for your daily count. Continue increasing until you're in your goal range. Even small increases can benefit you. One 2022 study on dementia, risk was lowest for those who took 9,800 steps a day, but those who took just 3,800 steps still had a reduced risk. Walk in a beat. In addition to boosting your brain health, research shows that listening to music while you walk helps you walk farther. So if you feel your motivation waning, especially on longer walks, listen to your favorite tunes can give you an energy boost. Need a good pair of walking headphones? Our ratings of over 200 models at cr.org/headphones can help you find the perfect ones. Just be sure to stay aware of your surroundings while you walk. Time Traveler, Milk, 1936, in CR's very first issue. We test pricey grade A and cheaper grade B milk and find there isn't much nutritional difference. We suggest buying grade B. in 1940 to report on a new type of milk, dairy products mixture, and say it cheats consumers because it's pumped full of air, which dissipates if it sits out. And they have a picture of a before and after bowl where a bowl is, a glass is filled about an inch from the top, and after a period of a while, it looks like it's down about a third. In 1951, we test the new concentrated milk, which is made to be diluted with water, and find that the flavor is similar to regular milk. 1969, dairy-free milks, often made with thickeners, cost about half the price of regular milk, but don't contain vitamins A and D, we report. In 1976, excuse me, got to change a page here. In 1976, we test chocolate milk drink mixes and find that many are unhealthy, mostly because they're packed with sugar. 1982, we evaluate more than 900 milk samples and find that those from dairies in states with strict sell-by date regulations taste best. 1993, the first Got Milk TV ad airs. This campaign goes on to feature icons and milk mustaches such as Beyonce and The Simpsons. 2010, the USDA states that cows that produce organic milk must have year-round outdoor access and feed on grass grown without herbicides or pesticides. In 2014, plant-based milks are increasingly popular. 21% of Americans buy them. In a taste test, CR says Blue Diamond almonds milk and Silk soy milk vanilla are the best. In 2023, one of the newest types of plant milk to hit the supermarkets is sesame seed milk. Like the one below, sesame milks also have a toasty flavor. Hope and Sesame unsweetened originally sesame milk, $9.98 for looks like a half gallon. And how about the better deal? How about TVs? 55-inch television is the Samsung QN55S, $2,400, scored an 82. But a better price, LG OLED 55, scored an 86, it only cost $1,800. Most of these OLED TVs are made by brands that earn excellent reliability and owner satisfaction scores in CR surveys. And both models boost top-notch picture quality and unlimited viewing angles, so the viewers sitting off to the side can see the picture just as clearly. The Samsung's flagship model is a bit better, reducing high dynamic range 4K content, but LG's mid-tier has superior sound quality and snags a higher overall score for $600 less. How about cookware sets? The higher price is the Fissler Original Pro-Fi Collection Stainless Steel, $650. The better price is the Tramontina Tri-Plaid Clad Sets at scored a 79 as well. The lowdown. The Fisher 8-piece set sits at the very top of our stainless steel cookware ratings. It heats up quickly and evenly, releases foods easily without any food residue left behind. But at $650, it's also the most expensive set we've tested. For less than half the price, the 8-piece Tramontina cookware offers a remarkably similar performance. It excels in our evenness test and is actually better at simmering tomato sauce. Plus, the Tramontina set comes with a lifetime warranty. Fisher offers a 15-year warranty. What brand of bagged popcorn tastes best? As snacks go, popcorn is pretty healthful. 3 cups of plain air popcorn contains about 100 calories, along with a good dose of fiber, and 1/3 of the whole grains most adults need daily. Even buttered popcorn can be a healthy snack. Our evaluation of 6 popular bag brands shows that most have just 120 to 160 calories in about 3 cups and contain 2 to 4 grams of fiber. To find the best buttered bag of corn, we asked 29 CR staffers to do a blind taste test of each brand and share their winners and losers. The editor's pick was Angie's Boom Chicka Pop Real Butter at $3.49 for 4.5 ounces. Real butter is right. This was the only popcorn that wasn't enhanced with a flavor additive of some kind. And no one complained of an artificial taste. Most tasters said the flavors were balanced, and some noted that the actual taste of the grain stood out. Angie's also offered a combo of crunchy and tender kernels. Tasty and vegan, Lesser Evil Himalayan Gold Organic. Made with coconut oil and with Lesser Evil calls butter-type flavors, this popcorn tied with Angie's for the top spot. Some said it had a movie theater popcorn taste, though others felt the butter was too sweet. It's higher in saturated fat than the others we tried, so try to stick to a 3-cup serving. Wise Butter Popcorn. Lowest price at $4.59 for 6 ounces. By the way, the Lesser Evil Himalayan is $7.59 for 4.6 ounces. At 77 cents per ounce, this popcorn was the least and was praised for its nice crunch and buttery flavor. However, it doesn't actually contain butter, using vegetable oil instead. It says artificially flavored in a small type on the package. Some tasters call the butter flavor fake. The healthy is the Skinny Pop Butter at $3.79 for 4.4 ounces. Skinny Pop edged out the competition when it comes to nutrition because of its lower saturated fat content. The texture is airy and crunchy, and many tasters thought the balance of butter and salt flavoring was just right. Tender Kernels, Smart Food Movie Theater Butter, $5.19 for 6.25 ounces. Some people want their popcorn to deliver crunch, but others prefer a tender kernel. And that's what you get here. The popcorn was described as soft, melts in your mouth, and no hard edges. The flavors of butter and salt were subtle for many tasters, but few thought butter tasted artificial. And how about a don't bother? Popcorn Indiana Movie Theater Butter, $3.89 for 4.75 ounces. Our taster noted a strong odor and a chemical flavor and aftertaste in this popcorn. Plus, the sodium is on the high side. Saving money on printers. Printer ink can cost more per ounce than fancy champagnes. Many of us frustrated by how frequently ink cartridges run out and how much they cost to replace. In fact, the cost of ink can turn a seemingly good deal on a printer into a not-so-great one. Take the Canon Prixma TR-470 inkjet printer. At just $80, it seems like a bargain. But the cost of ink for its eye-watering $189 per year. That's why we look beyond a printer sticker price by factoring in the estimated cost of replacement cartridges. Many of our picks on this page are laser printers, which use toner instead of ink. Toner is typically cheaper than ink, so even though laser printers cost more than inkjet ones, they can save you money in the long run. Another spot option is tank printers, which offer a cheap per-page cost because they use refillable bottles of ink rather than pricey cartridges. Black and white printers, it's the Brother HL5200. It's $280. It's a black and white laser, scored a 75. And the Brother HL2370W at 160, it's a black and white laser as well. The Canon Image Class at 150, all-in-one black and white laser, and it's a score of 70. The HP LaserJack Tank, black and white laser, overall score was 69. Color printers, the Brother HL3230 color laser, scored $280, costed $280, scored 65. The Brother MGG J1010DW at $100, all-in-one cartridge inkjets, and it scored a 54, which wasn't very good, obviously. An Expert Epson EcoTank ET3850, the all-in-one tank jet inkjet, scored 53. So those didn't do too wonderfully. Now, here's something I'm going to have to run out and get today, and that's insect repellents. While summer may be prime time for ticks, you can't let your guard down when it's autumn. There's a second peak for tick bites in October, particularly in the Northeast and Midwest, where blackleg ticks, which transmit Lyme disease, are common. And while young ticks feed in late spring and summer, the fall is when adult blackleg ticks are most active. So right now, when you're in grassy or wooded areas, tuck your pants into your socks and your shirt into your pants and spray yourself with repellent. Though we test insect repellents only on mosquitoes, our past testing suggests that if they repel mosquitoes, well, they also tend to repel ticks. Already shown below on the best ones. And the Benz Tick and Insect Repellent Wilderness Formula Pump at $7 scored a 95. That's 30 hours of DEET protection. Aerosols and pump sprays. 3M Ultrathon Insect Repellent at $11 scored a 94. Off, Sportsman Deepwoods Insect Repellent at $11.50 for a container scored a 93. Repel Lemon Eucalyptus Insect Repellent Pump at $8 scored a 90. Benz Tick Insect Repellent Wilderness Formula Aerosol scored at $9, scored an 88, and Cutter Backswood Insect Repellent Pump at $7.50, scored an 88. Coleman High and Dry Insect Repellent at $9, scored an 86, and Deep Woods Insect Repellent 8 Dry, VII Dry, scored at $7, scored an 86. Benz Tick Insect and Repellent Wipes at $7, scored a 96. Repel Insect Repellent Mosquito Bumps at $9, scored a 65. And Off, Deep Woods Insect Repellent Towelettes at $11.50, scored a 64. How about some recalls? Target is recalling about 4.9 million threshold glass jaw candles because the jar can crank or break during use, posing laceration and burn hazards. The candles were sold at Target stores nationwide and online at Target.com from August 19, 2019 through March 2023 for $3 to $20. Immediately stop using the candles, return them to only any Target store for a full refund, or call Target at 800-444-0680. You can also go to Target.com to receive a prepaid return label, return to cartons by mail. Empower Brands Juicers. Empower Brands is recalling about 469,000 PowerX self-cleaning juicers because the juicers can rupture during use, posing a laceration hazard, or can leave small particle shavings in the juice, posing an ingestion hazard. Recalled bottles were sold at BJ's Wholesale Club, CVS, Kohl's, Marshall's, Target, TJ Maxx, Walmart, and other stores nationwide, and on Amazon from September 2020 through August 2022 for $65 to $100. What to do? Stop using the juicer? Contact Empower Brands at 866-606-2441 or go to PowerXLProducts.com for details and to receive a full refund. And let's close out with a couple of all days in work. On the first day of school, I asked each of the kids in my first grade class to say what they wanted to be when they grew up. One boy said, an artist. Oh, that's wonderful, I gushed. What kind? He replied, con. I was walking near New York's Wall Street and popped into a deli. I ordered a sandwich and chatted with the owner. I asked whether being in the financial district ever led to getting valuable tips from misinformed customers. He paused his sandwich making every day. Those brokers come in here, he said. They get their bagels, sandwiches, donuts, coffee. He pointed toward the door of a shop, and every day they're out there on the sidewalk pushing and shoving on a door that is clearly marked pull. My 12-year-old cousin asked my boyfriend, a teacher, how he sleeps at night knowing he's going to give kids homework. I was screen scaring in a meeting and realized I had multiple tabs open to cats Phil loved. Three of us peppered the job candidate with questions regarding an opening in our department. We were pleased with his answers until we got to the end of the interview. When we asked the candidate whether he had any questions for us, he replied, yes, I have. What job am I interviewing for? And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Croden, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so much for listening.